You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
I'm Heidi Cartwright, Financial Advisor and RICP.
I'm Shea Pataja, and I'm here for the stats and laughs.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
And welcome aboard to New Retirement Radio with Prout Financial Design with Mr. Wait a minute now. Mr. Dennis Prout is AWOL. Shea Pataja and Heidi Cartwright are in from Prout Financial Design.
Yeah, Dennis might be in the woods looking for a bear. We're not really sure what he's doing today.
Right, with his axe?
With his axe. We do have a bear update. It stole one of my mom's feeders this week.
That's in the Acme Williamsburg area?
Yep. Yeah,
mm-hmm. It's stolen.
It's gone. My dad missed one feeder in the because every night they have to take them out, put them back out in the morning.
Yeah.
My mom loves her birds, but they're down a feeder this week. So,
boy, we had a bear one day. We took the feeders down one night, put them back up. But we haven't seen any sign of him since.
Really?
Same side of town. Yeah.
Maybe he's at our house.
Yep.
So yeah, Dennis is out today, and Heidi and I are taking over, and we're doing everyday Q&A. And I thought it would be fun to have me ask the questions that Heidi and Dennis get in their meetings quite often. So and we're going to do that.
Shea is the
Chief Experience and Marketing Officer.
I see the C in my head, and I want to go corporate. The Chief Experience Officer.
Yes.
And Heidi is, besides managing the office, mm-hmm. Tell us all the certifications you have.
Well, I'm a financial advisor,
yep.
And I'm an RICP, yes. Which is a Retirement Income Certified Professional. So it's much easier to say RICP.
Yeah. And with Ed Slott, don't you have certification?
Yeah, I'm a Master Lead Advisor with Ed Slott.
There we go.
And I have insurance license, etc.
You're going to need a new wall to hang all the certificates on.
This is the difference between the valedictorian of the class and the homecoming queen. Mm, yeah. You know, we.
Man.
What do you call that? I can't think of the word.
I'm at a loss.
You're at a loss. This is what happened. I empathize with Dennis because when you host, you start to lose words. And Dennis will look at me and go, what's that word? So that's what we're doing today. And then we're going to get into the difference between a Roth IRA versus a Roth 401k. What are the pluses, the minuses? How can you look at your options? And we've got some great examples there because we talk about this a lot. And Heidi's going to go into great detail with that. We also have some Shea stats. But before we get into all of these wonderful details, I do want to talk about Maverick because I went and saw that on Monday at the IMAX.
Is that what it's called? Is Maverick?
Yes.
Okay.
Top Gun 2.
Well, we watched Top Gun, you know. Right. We had to get a refresher.
Right, because it's been a while since that came out.
Like 30 years. I was 10 or something. But it was great then. I remember loving it. And then we watched that, and then we went and saw the movie this weekend. And anyways, people clapped at the end.
Oh, really?
And it's quite long, but it goes so fast. And the first scene, right off the bat, I was like, oh, man, this is so good. This is going to be so good. So I love the Blue Angels. That's the thing I get the most excited about. I like that feeling and that intensity. And I know some people don't like it at all. But you get that experience if you go see it in the theater. So
it's the IMAX. It's like that huge screen, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And it's a huge movie. It's a summer blockbuster already, grossing hundreds of millions of dollars. Cool. Yep.
I got a little sand in my eye a few times. I'll just say that.
Sand?
Yeah.
Yeah. Makes you cry.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a couple little tears.
But it's not your fault.
It's not my fault. It just, I'm just saying. So, anyway. All right, Heidi, you want to talk about some money?
Roth.
Other people's
Certainly.
Money?
Other people's money.
All right, we're going to do the Q&A here. So, the question that I think that you're getting the most, I'm assuming, is when is the market going back up?
Wow, that's a great question, and I do hear that. I hear that almost every single day, and my answer is, you know, the crystal ball is broken. I don't know, and none of us really know. There's so many factors that go into how the market goes and the reaction to different things. So that question, no one can really answer. If I could answer it, I would be probably the most popular person in town, right. But I don't know the answer to that. So what we can do is we can just move things around to help us put in a better position for several different scenarios.
Right. So that would lead to the next question. What are the opportunities in a down market?
So there are always opportunities, things you can do that will put you in a better situation or might turn out better. And one of those is doing Roth contributions or Roth conversion at that time. And the theory behind this is everything is priced lower now because the market is pretty much across the board down. There's a few sectors that are doing well. But so the idea is if you're contributing, you're buying at a lower price. So you can buy more shares. So when the market eventually comes up, because based on history, it has, you will own more shares and create more value for yourself for the long term.
Buy low, sell high.
Exactly. Sort of like a radical concept.
I have no certification, and I buy low, sell high.
Yeah, it's funny because when I'm out and about, people will be like, "Oh, Shay, the market," and as if I know all the ins and outs. And I go, "Well, from what I understand, things are on sale."
Right. So with that, do you have clients saying, "Get me out of this," that want to bail now? And I don't know how much advice you can give here, but do you advise people when you like stay in and buy low, or what's your
order? We do advise people, and there are a lot of people who are like, "Should I jump out?" You know, it all depends. There's so many factors. It's like, how comfortable are you with risk? How old are you? Mm-hmm. How long until you want to use this money? Mm-hmm. Is this something that's just a legacy that you're going to pass on? Is different than I need the money tomorrow? So all those factors come into that decision. But you also, another opportunity, like we were talking, is maybe there's stock that you really wanted to buy. Maybe something that has a really high price on it and you felt it was overvalued. Well, now's the time. If you were interested in that company or you think they have a good future, this might be a good time to buy that stock because things are relatively lower than they were last year. So that could be another opportunity. And then a third thing that you might want to be thinking about, I don't know if it's really an opportunity, but it's something you can do as sort of protection or put a buffer around yourself, is any money that you need to take out of the portfolio in the next 12 to 18 months, you can move that into money market or maybe a very ultra short-term bond fund or some kind of fund that has very little volatility and does not have a correlation with the market. It stays pretty steady. So there are a few of those out there, and you can put that money that you know you're going to need or you might need and create that buffer so that you're not putting yourself into a situation if the market goes down further that you're creating a bigger loss when you have to take that money out. So building buffers in the portfolio through products that don't have the volatility of market investments, or creating a buffer of relatively conservative products that you can draw on when the market is in this crazy up and down cycle that it's in right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or as my dad would say, slow is pro. Don't get crazy. Think it through. All right. So the next question, how do you help clients decide what their withdrawal amounts should be? Because especially right now,
well, it all goes back to your personal situation. Maybe you've had a financial plan done. That's an excellent way to sort of get an idea of how much you're going to need to draw out of your portfolio.
Yes.
Your any anticipated, like if you know you're going to replace the porch or you know you need to get a new car or something, that's all going into that figure that we're putting in our buffer.
Mm-hmm.
It really is individual preferences and needs, but also, like, you know, as things go up, some people may not be traveling as much because now gas is so much. So pulling back on one area to compensate for another can also go into that equation.
It's amazing.
By the way, Colleen Wares told me that she was at a nearby gas station and saw $5 a gallon. She saw $5 a gallon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. And it's at a gas station that is typically a little on the high side, okay. But still.
So we've hit the $5 mark.
We have.
Mm-hmm. I heard that might go up till August based on what's going on. Fox Business News was talking about $8 a gallon this morning, and I was like, what?
I think I need an e-bike, but also because they look fun. All right. So should I keep contributing to my 401k even through a down market?
That is a really good question. That's another one I hear quite frequently, especially over the last couple of months, because it's so hard. Like in my own case, I am losing more than I'm putting in every month into my 401k. And that is a really hard thing to see. But it actually can work in your favor because of what we talked about earlier. For that same dollar amount, say you're putting in $100 a paycheck, mm-hmm. maybe you were buying 2 shares before and now you're buying 3 shares. Mm-hmm. So when we ride the market back up, that is what's going to expand that value of your portfolio, the gain and the return, because you're going to own more shares. So it's dollar cost averaging coming into play here, month after month, the same amount putting it in. That discipline, it's really important. And actually, it's so important when the market's down because you're buying more shares. So even though it hurts and it's hard to see, it's one of those things that intellectually, I know this is the right thing and I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing, but I don't like it.
And if you took, if you stopped contributing, what would you do with that money? It's hard to find a place to put it to make it work for you.
It's what you should do with the money or what you're going to do with the money.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, if you stop putting it in the market, you could just put it in the money market, which probably is going to earn you less than 1%, but it's one of those buffer things. So if you're older, you may start putting it in there because you know you're going to retire in a couple of years. You may do that. You may start putting your contributions in something that's more conservative over time.
Hmm. Well, and it's difficult. You know, you need to go back and look at your budget. I think when your gas prices, when you're spending so much more on gas, something as simple as that, you go, wow, I'm going to pull back on these things. But look, try to stay the course with your investments in your 401k.
Right. And it's even more important the younger you are that you want to keep up that discipline. As you get closer to retirement, like I said, it might be a good idea to move some contributions into something steady that's not going to decline.
Awesome. All right. So is it okay to roll over your 401k right now, and where to?
Exactly. That is a big question. And it's something that makes people nervous because if they looked at their statement in December, it said one number and they're looking at their statement now and it's significantly less. So, but the theory is with this, if you like, if you leave an employer or you're retiring and you want to take your money from the 401k and move it to the IRA, and there's a lot of reasons why you should or shouldn't do that. That's something to discuss with your advisor. But if you're invested in your 401k and you move the money over to an IRA and you invest in that, you're sort of staying invested. You're not having that opportunity cost of if you take it out, you put it in cash. We don't know when the market's going to recover. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to say this is the bottom. And those first initial periods right after hitting the bottom in the market, those are so important to be invested on those days. Mm-hmm. So trying to, that's what we call timing the market, trying to, you know, get out when it's the highest or, you know.
Yeah.
Why would you transfer 401 to an IRA? They're both similar, aren't they?
Well, if you've left your employer, maybe you want to buy some products that aren't offered in your 401k.
Ew.
You know, maybe you want to buy some actual stock and they only offer you mutual funds. Or maybe you want an annuity and the plan doesn't have an annuity and you can buy an annuity outside. So in an IRA. So those are some of the decisions. You still have to do your planning. You're still preparing for the future. So there may be some things in a 401k that you don't like, or maybe you decide I'm going to stay in my 401k for a couple of years until things turn around and just leave it there. There's pros and cons, but you have to look at through that filter of your own situation and your goals.
An IRA, you can buy individual stocks. You can say, I want to buy a, thousand.
Haggerty and Townsend is a big interest of a lot of people.
Right. Mm-hmm. So you can do that with an IRA.
Yes, you can.
Well.
Things you know. The more you know here, Ron Jolly. It's exciting.
Things that make you say,
Things that make you go, Or, honey. We haven't used that sounder in a while. Speaking of, what can I do if there is a market volatility, if there is market volatility, and I still have to take distributions from my portfolio?
Honey.
There we go.
So, Shay, I would refer you back to earlier conversation, that buffer. That's the whole idea of having the buffer. And, when things like this happen, dramatic change is probably, I won't say always, but it probably is not the best course. Small tweaks to where you are, because you're not investing just for today. You're investing for future. You want this portfolio to last out into the future. Mm-hmm. So any radical move is definitely something you want to discuss with a financial advisor before you did that. And little tweaks, that is how you sort of make changes during this sort of stressful time.
Okay. All right. So here's another question, because I was talking with a friend and they're retired and they like to stay invested directly into the market. So my question, I was like, I'm going to talk to Heidi about this. So what percentage of a portfolio should be, the shoulds, I'm putting quotation marks around that, directly in the stock market when you're retired?
Okay, say that again.
So when you're retired, like how much of your portfolio, should be, or should you not have directly invested into the stock market, because that has more volatility and you're not getting a paycheck.
Yep, that's an individual thing.
It's
your need. Like, are you taking $1,000 a month out? Are you planning to take a lump sum out within the year? Those sort of things. Do you want to just be proactive? You don't know what you're going to need, but you have X amount in your portfolio and you're like, I'd like to have like a 10% buffer.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it all goes towards how comfortable you are with risk. What is your timeline? What are your needs? All those things. It's a very, especially when the market is down like this, you want to have a thoughtful process. You don't want to react on emotion, because there is a lot of emotion. You're watching things go down. You don't want to lose everything, but you want to make thoughtful decisions. And it's definitely worth that discussion. Worth the time to sit down and think it through before you make a jump.
Well, then I have a great idea. People should come and talk to you, Heidi. Just a reminder, our office number is 231-947-3992. Okay, so we got some Shay stats for you today. Going into the 2022 Memorial Day holiday, the S&P 500 is down 12.2% year-to-date total return. Going into Memorial Day of 2021, the S&P 500 was up 12.6% year-to-date total return, and that's from BTN Research.
Hmm.
So what goes up and down?
Goes up and down. All right, so before 2017, new business applications in the U.S. had not exceeded 3 million in a single year. Here's a little perspective for you. Americans filed 4.35 million new business applications in 2020 and 5.36 million in 2021, surpassing that record high of 3.5 million. Pretty crazy. That's from the Census Bureau.
Maybe that's one reason there aren't enough employees. Everybody wants to have their own business.
That could be.
I actually, my coaching business, I would say that's true. A lot of people are just starting their own thing and found that having that time during the pandemic, that downtime, gave them the time to dream up and put a plan into place for what they wanted to do.
And they want to hire people now. New business, they have a bunch of new business. They can't find anybody.
Yeah, most of them are solopreneurs. Like, they're just out doing it by themselves and then using either virtual assistants or, there's a lot of ways to get business done now. So,
yep.
For every $1,000 paid by Medicare for hospital inpatient and outpatient services, including costs incurred for medical facilities and services provided by healthcare professionals, an employer-sponsored health insurance plan would pay $2,240, or more than twice as much And that's from the Rand Corporation.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. Over the last 25 calendar years, 1997 to 2021, cost of living adjustments, or COLA, for Social Security benefits, has increased 73.7%. Over the last 25 calendar years, inflation as measured by the Consumer Price Index, or the CPI, has increased 75.8%. So
they're just keeping even.
So
we talked about that the other day. Everything keeps going up. I mean, you remember people used to work and get 40 cents a week and they could buy groceries for a penny. And pretty soon, in 25 years, car is going to cost $300,000. Minimum wage will be $500 an hour. Everything just keeps going up.
Right.
There's pretty wild. Yeah. What's happening. It's hard to keep up, and overwhelming is what I hear from most people. So,
Meanwhile,
the size of the U.S. economy as of March 31st of 2022 was $24.4 trillion. The size of the U.S. national debt as of March 31st of 2022 was $30.4
trillion.
So that's more. More.
It's pretty scary.
That's
from the Commerce Department.
Wow. Let's see, if that was a household, Heidi, the $24 trillion would represent your annual gross earnings, right? And the debt would be how much you owe. So
Well, it's what your assets are worth versus the debt you have on those assets. Your debt's exceeding.
But your entire debt is more than your assets.
Sort of like that scenario.
Yeah.
Which, you know, in basic econ in high school, they told you that probably wasn't the best way to go.
Not the best way to go for a country or a household or business.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, the net worth of Americans increased 62% over the last 5 years. So that's 10.1% per year, rising from $92.8 trillion as of December 31st, 2016, to $150.3 trillion as of December 31st of 2021, and that's from the Federal Reserve.
Right before the market went down.
Very interesting.
Yeah. Very interesting.
Less than 1 in 5 Americans, so that's 19%, surveyed in April of 2022, believe it's a quote-unquote good time to buy a home in today's market, and that's from Fannie Mae.
That seems like a big shift from just a year
yes,
ago.
It does. It really does. So,
fewer than 1 in 5 surveyed now believe it's a good time to buy a home. Oh, what was it before? That was higher than before. We don't know.
And interest rates were lower, so people were making moves.
Right.
That's right.
I wonder if we'll see it start to slow down. I mean, every week, not joking, every week I meet someone who's like, oh, I just moved up here. I moved up here because of the pandemic. I wonder if we're going to hear less of that. I've also heard people who moved up here and couldn't handle the weather, so they moved away. So I've heard
both
things.
That.
And that was that. Yeah. So, yep. All right, Heidi, let's talk about the Roth versus Roth. I love this. The Roth IRA versus the Roth 401k. And this is Ed Slott information. And I'll let you just take it from here.
All right. Well, it probably should come as no surprise to listeners of the show that, hey, the rules are different for those kind of accounts. And they all have separate protocols that you have to follow. But both the Roth IRA and the Roth 401k contributions are made with after-tax dollars. They grow tax-free and can be withdrawn tax-free as a qualified distribution, and that means, you know, you have all those things like you have to be over 59 and a half, et cetera, et cetera. So a qualified distribution means you're allowed to without a penalty. So, but there's no tax. So this we talked about as one of our opportunities that you can do in a market that we have right now. And so we thought this would be relevant because more and more people are looking at the Roth to get in at the lower price. For more tax-free gain maybe in the future. So anyone that meets certain income restrictions can contribute up to $6,000 or $7,000. So if you're over 50, you get that extra $1,000 to a Roth IRA for 2022.
What's that, $7,000 to a Roth IRA if you're over 50?
And $6,000 if you're under, that $1,000 catch-up. And then company plans, however, we're going to be talking about those 401k Roth, those aren't required by every plan. So some plans may not offer you that option, but many plans do. But there are circumstances out there where you may not have that option. And so you might want to do your own Roth IRA on the side. Okay, but there are some income restrictions on that. So it's possible to contribute the maximum amount to both a Roth IRA and a Roth 401k in the same year. And a lot of people don't know this because you think you're putting in at your company plan and you can't do an individual Roth IRA, but you can. You can do both. And I have a little example here that Shay was going to read the examples that sort of illustrate how this can be done.
Okay, so Sophie, age 52, is single and has a modified adjusted gross income of $100,000 in 2021. Sophie's 401k plan offers Roth contributions. Since her, you say Magi? Is that how you say it?
You can say Magi.
Magi?
Magi.
All right, Magi. Is below $125,000. The 2021 threshold for single taxpayers, Sophie can make a $7,000 Roth IRA contribution for 2021. She can also make up to $26,000 in Roth 401k contributions this year. That's crazy.
Yeah, so you can get a lot, substantial amount.
That's
into
a total
a
of $33,000 saved in 2021 Roth contributions.
So wait, for 401k Roth, you can put how much in?
You can put for 2021, I believe you can put up to, I think it's 27. This has...
Or I was going to say roughly, but you don't operate in roughly terms. You're always
I have to find it. So here it is.
Precision.
For 2022, if you're under 50, you can contribute $20,500. And the catch-up for people over 50 is an additional $6,500, bringing it to $27,000 for 2022.
Wow.
It was $26,000 back in 2021.
Sophie, taking advantage of the
Yeah, that's awesome.
But what you don't have is, okay, so is Sophie able to live on her net income?
Well, does she have an emergency fund? Does she have her debt paid off? There's many factors here.
Right. So, not everyone can maximize both options, but they are there. And it's important for the people who don't have a Roth option in their 401k to know that they could do that outside of the plan as well.
By the way, we had a text here, and somebody said, buy Series I savings bonds, and they followed that with buy Series EE savings bonds, 10% return.
Well, it's a nice return. I can't speak to that. Okay. We don't deal in savings bonds, and we don't sell them, and we're not involved in those. So I would have to not comment.
All right. What else do we have with 401k Roth and Roth IRA?
Okay, so let's talk about some advantages of the Roth IRA. So this is the IRA that you're doing on your own outside of an employer plan, okay? The first one is there are no lifetime RMDs. This is something in a traditional IRA or a traditional 401k. Once you hit that age of 72, you're required to take a minimum amount out of those accounts. Well, there's no tax when you take out of the Roth, so they don't require you to have an RMD for an IRA. But here's the little tweak, because the rules aren't the same. If you have a Roth 401k, you do have to take an RMD. It's not taxed, but you still have to take money out. So this could be a consideration. If you're still working and you're still contributing to your 401k and you're getting close to the age of 72, you may want to roll that Roth money out to a Roth IRA to avoid the RMD that is approaching.
Well, and to ask a question here, why do people dislike the taking RMDs? We have clients, they're like, I have to take the money out?
Well, if you don't need to take the money out, or like say maybe you have a pension or you have some other source of income that covers your daily living expenses, you want to leave it invested.
Yeah.
You're not paying taxes on that on an annual basis. So once you take the money out, it becomes regular money, and that's taxed on an annual basis. So that could be one reason your income tax goes up if it's a traditional investment. There's a lot of reasons.
Okay. All right, number two here.
Number two is there's more investment options, and we touched on this earlier in the show. Some of the things that may not be available in a 401k plan may be available outside. There may be certain stocks, there may be bonds, there may be, you know, maybe you want to invest in CDs. You can do that outside of a 401k. There's a lot of different things that you can invest in an IRA that maybe not be available in your 401k, because that's determined by your employer what choices you have. Another advantage to a Roth IRA is easier accessibility. You know, Roth IRAs, you can withdraw over any time without penalty if you're over 59 and a half. And an employee who's still working cannot access their Roth 401k assets before 59 and a half, which you could with your Roth IRA if you needed to. You may have a penalty, but things like that. So I don't know how much of a pro I'd say that is, but there is easier rules on the Roth IRA.
Well, you could, I mean, I have heard of people doing this. I don't know if you advise it or not, but some people using their Roth IRA kind of like in a mini emergency fund. Like if they have to get money out, it's a preferred route.
So a unique thing with the Roth IRA is they allow you to take out contributions, your base contributions, without penalty before you're 59 and a half. So
you don't have to put it back in? Like a,
you just can't take out the gains.
Got it. Right.
Right.
So that is a bonus.
And there's a few other rules too, so make sure you check before you do this.
Sure.
But contributions come out first from an IRA, then conversions, then earnings.
Got it.
All right. So let's move on to...
I have a text question. What are the maximum yearly contributions for married filing jointly for a 401k and a Roth 401k?
Okay. The thing with retirement accounts, they're for individuals. So there's no joint considerations. The only time you get into some kind of joint restriction would be on income levels to be able to invest in a Roth IRA, what your household income tax statement says. But in your individual IRA is for an individual, so your 401k, you get the $27,000 if you're over 50. Your wife would get that $27,000 for her plan if she's over 50. So it's not a combined contribution limit. It's an individual limit.
So that's a Roth 401k.
A Roth 401k, yeah, that's the
$27,000.
Yeah. And then the Roth IRA is the $7,000, as long as they're over 50. Otherwise, it's $6,000.
So okay.
A piece. So,
and they said, what's the, and then for a 401k, this is a non-Roth 401k, Are there limitations on how much you can put in your 401k? If it's not a Roth 401k?
It's the same for
same
traditional
thing.
Or okay. Roth, that $27,000, it's the same. It's a one limit. So like I do a mixture of contributions. I put some in my traditional and some in the Roth. Mm-hmm. But the most I can put in the plan for the year is $27,000.
But for a married couple, two individuals, so it's 27 times two or seven times two, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Depending
so
on age.
If you came in and you had the money, a couple could do $14,000 if they're over 50.
Hello.
They could each open one as long as they meet all the requirements.
All right. Let's see.
Do you want to take a little break? And
shall
then finish
we breaketh?
Up? Okay.
Let's take a quick little break, and we'll be right back with Prout Financial Design's New Retirement Radio on WTCM.
You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
I'm Heidi Cartwright, Financial Advisor and RICP.
I'm Shea Pataja, and I put the fin in financial. No, really, I'm Finnish. And it's pronounced sauna, not sauna.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
And welcome back to New Retirement Radio on WTCM with Prout Financial Design. Mr. Dennis Prout is AWOL today, lost in the woods. We have Shay Pataja in today, the Chief Experience Officer. Hello, Shay.
Hello.
And Heidi Cartwright, the ABC, CBS, LSD.
RICP.
Oh, man. I love it.
Heidi is a highly certified financial advisor.
Highly qualified, yes. So, Heidi, one thing people don't realize most of the time is that in their 401k plan, there's usually a Roth option. And like most employees, you just get in the habit of putting money away, and you checked boxes and said yes, and then you might increase it every year. But it's good to check and see if the plan has a 401k option in it.
Exactly. If you don't know, go ask the question. That's step one right there. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of plans adopted Roth maybe after you were hired and, you know, you didn't get that memo or it wasn't advertised or distributed very well. So that news. So ask, because they could have added it recently. Mm-hmm. Or if you ask, you could ask them if they would do it too. And you can go through human resource or whoever does your plan administration, mm-hmm, and ask the question if it's available, because it is an opportunity to take advantage of.
I didn't know that we had one through this company until the provider, if you will, mm-hmm, has a portal website that you can now go to, mm-hmm, and it's on there. I found out there.
Great.
So just transferred over.
A little research paid off.
It's easier than trying to figure out who to call or ask, at least for me. But yeah, it's worthwhile.
There you go.
All right. So let's talk about the advantages of having that Roth 401k. So one of the advantages is it has a higher annual limit and no income restrictions. So we've mentioned this already. That's that higher amount, that $27,000 compared to your $7,000 of your Roth IRA. But also the income restrictions come into play. Many people, as they progress through their career, they start making higher and higher wages. So there's income restrictions on the Roth IRA. For example, if you are single and you make over $144,000 in 2022, you can't do the individual Roth IRA outside the plan. But there are no income restrictions for people in a plan. So you can put in the amount where maybe you couldn't outside the plan, but you can put in that full $27,000 or any amount less than that. You don't have to max out. It's great if you can, but you don't have to. And you can take advantage of that higher limit and that you don't have any income restrictions. So, Shay, there's a little bit of an example here, which you can...
All right, so a married couple has joint MAGI of $220,000 in 2021.
What's that, adjusted gross income?
Yeah.
Okay.
Something like that.
Something like that. It's on my other sheet. Since their MAGI exceeds $208,000, neither can make a 2021 Roth IRA contribution directly. However, their MAGI does not prevent either from making a Roth contribution to their 401k plan if the plan allows such contributions.
All right. By the way, we had another question on the text line. Does the maximum contribution for that Roth 401k does that include the company matching funds or just the contribution by the individual? So I think you said it was a 26.5 if you're over 50, right?
It was.
Or that's what it was.
$20,500 if you're under 50, yep. And it's $27,000 if you're over 50.
So that's total, you and your employer?
No, that's a great question, because that brings, that's you. That's what your contribution is. Whatever the match is, the company will put in. But that won't go in as Roth funds. That will go in as traditional funds. Mm. Because the companies, when they put in a match, they're going to expense that expense on their income statement when they're figuring out their taxes. So that's considered pre-tax money.
Got
so
it.
Even if you put everything in a Roth, you'll probably, if you have a match or something like that, you'll end up with both traditional funds and Roth funds in that 401k.
But the most that's going into that Roth 401k, regardless, the most that can go in there is the 27.
From you.
20,
yeah.
From you.
Mm-hmm.
So if I put $27,000 in, and my employer matched me, and I got another whatever, 5, 10,
that's going to go in the traditional side.
So, but it won't go in the...
It'll
oh, go to traditional...
Pre-tax money. Mm-hmm. Because your 401k...
It'll go traditional, when you say traditional, into a traditional IRA, a Roth IRA.
Traditional 401k.
Okay, 401k. So it's not going into the Roth.
It'll be pre-tax
the most, money. The most money that's going to go into that Roth is the limit, $27,000.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The business has their own tax situation going on. So,
Yeah.
So like I said,
if you put in $27,000 of your own money and your company matched you, that match is not going into your Roth 401k.
It's going into your traditional 401k.
So that's the clarification. The most that goes in is the limit, 27.
Because remember, the plan is the 401k, and it's got like different buckets.
Okay.
It's got your Roth bucket, which you're contributing to, or your pre-tax bucket, and that's where your traditional contributions would go, or your employer contributions.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. And or.
And we've seen some couples come in over 50 and say, hey, what we're going to do is we're going to take his or her income and catch up on our retirement savings. And they've strategized to move themselves forward a little bit faster, too, which is pretty cool to think about.
It is pretty cool. And one of the circumstances that's most common when we use that strategy is maybe somebody inherits some money.
Mm-hmm.
They inherit money and they have to take those beneficiary RMDs.
Mm.
So they're bringing in that income. So they have that space in their budget where they can raise the amount that's withheld from their pay and put in the 401k because they can live on some of the money that they've inherited. And that allows them to max out some of these contribution limits.
And this is when financial planning gets fun.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. Isn't this fun?
Mm-hmm. So now we have about less than a minute left.
I'll tell listeners this. Go to proutfinancialdesign.com. We keep all of our radio shows. They're edited down to a podcast link there, or you can go to iTunes and listen. Sign up online. I've got multiple places on our website for you to sign up for the weekly email blast that I put out right before the show, so you can know before the show, get the links that we use during the radio show to articles, and of course, I tried to post one pretty picture of Northern Michigan.
All right.
You had a good one this week.
I did, yes.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.